Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Listener Service Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Very good.
Wait a minute. I'm not finished yet. We always like to help our listeners, and we got this little request and thought we would help spread the word.
All right, here it is. From Nancy F., and we don't know where Nancy F. is from. It hardly matters. And the subject of the letter is Boycott Car Talk. Here we go again. Another summer of us waiting for the puzzler to come back from vacation. You've never explained why this has to be. So many of us plan our entire weekend so that we're near a radio to hear the puzzler and last week's answer. And it's not like you have a shortage of great puzzlers sent in by local listeners. For example, you've never used the one I sent in 3 or 4 years ago. I've had enough of this needless denial of entertainment, and I expect that other listeners have too. So I'm organizing a boycott of Car Talk. Let's all refuse to listen until the puzzler returns on a truly weekly basis. Spelled W-E-A-K. No. Let's make him sweat. Let's show him who's boss. Yeah. The only thing is, she says, I don't have access to your audience to make that rallying call. So would you mind announcing the boycott for me? I think.
And you read her letter?
It really could work. Thanks, Nancy.
You turned cold.
What does he think? We're stupid? Well, you know, it's like, you know, Mickey Mantle observed near the end of his career, if he said, if I thought I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself.
Yes.
And if I thought the puzzler was going to be this popular, I would have done a better job. But Nancy, we're with you. Boycott away.
All right, all right. Well, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
This is Edwin from Atlanta.
I have a feeling we've spoken before.
No, we almost did, though.
Oh, we almost did. Ah, that's why your voice is familiar.
Okay.
What's up, Edwin?
I have a 93 Lincoln Town Car.
Oh.
And very recently, I'm driving along, say, about 30, 35 miles an hour, and it sounds as if I'm about to change gears. And I got like you're rolling over one of those side roads when you're going off the highway.
Right, where they put the corrugations in the road.
Right. And you're running over that. And I took it into the dealer, and the dealer said, I know what your problem is. Your problem is that you need to change your transmission fluid.
Mm-hmm.
I did that.
Okay.
The noise is still there.
So you're driving along at 30, 35 miles an hour on a nice, quiet little side street somewhere.
Right.
And all of a sudden you hear, just one time.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a whole lot of times then.
And then it goes away, and then it comes back.
Right, and again it goes back.
And it lasts about that long.
Right.
No idea.
Well,
no idea?
I have an idea.
No idea?
What? Give us a break, will you?
Stop the car.
Give us a break here.
Well, he has no idea. I admit I have a lousy idea, but it's I think what's happening is my brother's going to like this, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll ask you a question first.
Okay.
And your answer may determine whether or not I abandon ship.
Okay.
This happens when the car reaches this 35-mile-an-hour speed.
Right.
In other words, it's never at 55, and it's never at 25. Is that true?
It's never at 25. It has happened sometimes at about 50, 55, maybe, but very seldom.
Ooh.
Get my life jacket.
Don't tell me I'm going to need a new car.
Well, here's what I think it is, and I'm going to try to talk Edwin into it.
Okay.
Because he sounds like the kind of guy who would believe anything.
If it doesn't cost me any money, I'll
It might cost you some money, but it may not. I have a solution for that, too.
Okay.
Your transmission has a device called a lock-up torque converter.
Okay.
Which locks up the converter when you get to about 35 miles an hour so that it behaves like one solid unit instead of the fluid coupling that it is. In other words, a torque converter is responsible for transmitting the power from the engine to the transmission.
Okay.
And it allows slippage so that you can come to a stop and leave the thing in gear.
Mm-hmm.
I believe yours is not fully engaging, and that's why it's most likely to happen. I hear the groans from my brother. It's most likely to happen at 35 miles an hour, which is exactly the speed when the thing is supposed to kick in.
Kick in, okay.
Have you noticed any decrease in your highway gas mileage?
Decrease.
Have you taken
He's got a link. It isn't check the mileage.
Do you check the mileage? Are you getting double digits?
No.
Eight miles to the gallon.
No.
So you haven't noticed.
The mileage on the highway is fine.
No, and I believe that most of the time this thing is in fact working correctly. But here's the test.
Right.
Go into your filling station.
Uh-huh.
Ask them to throw the car on the lift and unplug the lockup converter.
Okay.
And see if the noise goes away.
Okay.
If it does, leave it unplugged.
So it's not the transmission.
It's a piece of the transmission.
It's not, but you could safely leave this unplugged, and while it would cause some decrease in your mileage, the additional cost would be nothing compared to what it would cost you to actually fix this.
Okay.
Yeah. 8 miles to the gallon is great.
Compared to what it's going to cost.
Right. Compared to what it's going to cost.
So take it into the shop, ask them to disconnect the lockup torque converter.
Okay.
Good luck, Edwin.
Thank you. Good luck.
Great talking to you, Edwin.
Same here.
Bye-bye.
Good now.
Because I'm not even sure he has a lockup torque converter. Well, if he had one, I was
going to bring that up, but it's a 93.
No, I'm pretty sure he's got one.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, he should have had one.
He should have one.
One.
I liked it. Yeah, and I liked Edwin.
Edwin sounds like the kind of guy I want to know.
He didn't really care.
No.
If you told him he needed open heart surgery, he'd laugh.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kristen from Eugene, Oregon.
Kristen with a K?
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, we got you. What's up, Kristen?
Well, we have a 2005 Saturn View, and about a month and a half ago, we went camping with my husband's car and with the View.
That's exactly the vehicle to have if you're going to go camping, right?
Well, it is when we have two kids and a big dog.
Yeah, and you get a good view, too.
Yeah.
Oh, bad.
That we do out here in Oregon. So the air conditioner had been working in the car before we got camping, and then we had a little incident on the way there, and I rear-ended my husband's Corolla. Not enough that it did any damage that you can physically see, but the next day when I was driving back into town to get more camping supplies, it was very hot, and I tried to put the air conditioner on, and it doesn't create any cool air.
Wait, so you were driving the View.
I was.
And you rear-ended him.
I did.
You were going somewhere in two cars.
We were, because we have so much
junk
stuff for the kids, and our dog is so big that we couldn't fit everything in the back.
Oh, so you had to take
No, that makes sense. I think a lot of people make the mistake, oddly enough, of buying the one humongous thing.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
a bad idea.
Like an eight-seater Sequoia. Those few times, you're almost better off taking two cars, even though on that particular trip you would have done better with the one big one, perhaps. But you're not driving that one big one all the rest of the time that you're not camping.
Yeah,
anyway, that's another story.
All the people who have SUVs are trying to get rid of them. So this would be a good time to buy one.
Oh, we bought you one for your birthday. Anyway, okay. Kristen, so you rear-ended your husband with the View.
That's correct.
And what you did when you did that, even though you didn't do any damage, is you probably cracked the condenser.
Oh.
And the condenser is the radiator through which the refrigerant circulates. And when that leaked out, you didn't smell it or hear it or feel it or anything.
Probably not.
No, because it's colorless, odorless, you know, and all that stuff. And had you been right there and with your hand in front of the leak, your hand might have frozen as that refrigerant escaped because the pressure drop would have dropped the temperature. But I'm guessing that's what you did.
Is that pretty simple to fix?
No. You mean like how much money?
Yes.
No, it's hundreds.
Easy. Okay.
It's many hundreds. Yeah. I mean, when you say there was no damage to the car.
Right.
Is that like a relative term? Like you, no damage means I can still open the doors?
No, there's absolutely no damage to the bumper on the front of the View or the back of the Corolla.
Is this because there was so many dents in it already
that you can't
distinguish between the old one and the new one?
Although maybe with my husband's Corolla, my kids call it the crapmobile, but no. My car, it looks perfect.
It does.
Well, there certainly is a possibility that you blew a fuse or something like that, and before you bemoan the idea that you're going to have to spend $900 to fix this, you ought to at the very least check the fuses, because you could have popped a fuse.
Okay.
You know, so you can do that yourselves, or you can take it someplace and have them check. But I think whoever checks it will know immediately if you've lost your refrigerant. It's very simple to determine.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you, Kristen.
Well, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Andy from New York.
New York City?
Yeah, in the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
So basically, me and my girlfriend wanted to get away for the weekend, and we borrowed my dad's car to drive up to the country. And, driving an unfamiliar car, wasn't quite aware where the gas gauge was at, et cetera, and we found ourselves in the deepest, deepest backcountry road, running on fumes.
You sneaky devil, you.
We figured, yeah, right. She's like, uh-huh, okay, go to the country. Right. Anyway, so we come to this beautiful stables, and there are horses everywhere. And she says, well, are there horses? There are people. We're saved. And sure enough, there were, and they were generous enough to lend us their gasoline. They had a little tank. They said, well, you know, if there's gas in it, you're welcome to have it.
Oh, that sounds bad.
Anyway, so we got the tank, but being a city slicker, I was not familiar with these newfangled gas tanks where you don't see the spout. The spout is sort of inside the thing. So thinking I was being clever and inventive, I took a Perrier bottle
and made a funnel.
But then the trap to the gas tank is spring-loaded, and the neck of the bottle was, you know, a centimeter too wide.
Right, right.
But I had a straw from Starbucks, and I fished that in there so that it was mostly out of the tank.
And you dropped the straw.
Yes, I dropped the straw into the tank.
Okay. Great.
So we get back in the car. We're rescued. We're happy. We're driving, like, you know, 1 minute, and the engine starts knocking and rattling. It sounds like there's a piece of the Terminator trying to eat the car, and then it stalls out. Mm. And I went into this high school regression. I'm 35, and I thought, okay, I'm 17 now. My dad is going to kill me. I'm dead. But it starts up again, and we manage somehow to get into town and meet the people we're supposed to meet, and the next-door neighbor is a killer mechanic, and he says, you got bad gas. It has nothing to do with the straw. I'm sure the straw is just floating. Gas wouldn't do that. Just put in dry gas and high octane, and it'll be fine. And we did that. And after, you know, maybe a quarter tank of the high octane with two things of dry gas, it was very smooth. And I figured we were home free. And my dad said, "So, how was the car?" Oh, it was fine, you know.
And you didn't volunteer
way.
Anything.
Forget it.
No.
Right.
But okay, but then he goes, "Really, that's interesting because I find that it's stalling when I start it up, but other than that it's fine."
And so he tells you this.
Yes. So I said, "Well, now that you mention it, I did find myself on a back end of the road, put in some junky gas, but I did not mention the straw.
What kind of a car is it?
It's an 8-year-old Buick.
How much gas did you add from the wonderful people? Was that a gallon?
I would say 3 to 4 gallons, maybe 3.5.
And then you filled it with high test, you said.
I put in two things of the dry gas.
Yeah.
Plus the highest test you could get, and drove it down to a half a tank. And then I put in another thing of dry gas and filled it again with high octane.
Is he still operating on the full tank that you gave him?
He's down to pretty much the bottom of it, and he was getting ready to put in another thing of high octane, and his mechanic said, "Watch it, just see what it does. It may take a few tanks." And his mechanic, not knowing there's a straw in there, said if it persists, he would put in some kind of turbocharged line cleaner detergent type thing.
If I were you,
yeah,
I would keep my mouth shut right now.
Yeah, in fact, what I would have done, is I would have complained about the car.
You are so devious. Ah. You know, Dad, the car ran okay, but I noticed it stalls out every once in a while.
Yeah, see, you should have just turned the tables on him.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
Oh, wow, of
that's
course.
Good.
See, that's why you have a radio show, and, you know, I'm struggling in New York.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Say, Dad, come on. I mean, it's time for you to trade this thing in. It ran terribly. I had all I could do to get it up Yeah, with my girlfriend in the car. I mean, I was ashamed to be driving such a jalopy. Don't ever lend me a car in this condition again.
That's classic.
Well, I don't think the straw is harming anything. In fact, gasoline is made from straws. It's a little known fact. But...
And straws are made from gasoline. I mean, it's a perfect blend here. Either the gas tank is going to fill up with straws. All the straws going to turn back into gas.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the straw. In fact, you can verify this by getting a straw and some gasoline and seeing if the straw, in fact, dissolves. I suspect, if anything, you have some dirty injectors, and I would recommend that you put in an injector cleaner, not dry gas,
okay, but
a fuel injector cleaner.
Yeah, uh-huh. I think the problem is all those damn cans of dry gas that you threw in. I mean, you had about a 60% solution of dry gas.
Yeah, that'll make it. You're trying to burn alcohol, for God's sake. But I would try putting in a can of Tecron and tell Dad nothing.
Gotcha.
He doesn't listen to Car Talk, does he?
Well, you know, I did change my name just to protect the lives of the innocent, et cetera.
Okay. Well, what's your real name in case we have to call you?
You can call me Fritz. You can call me...
All right. Al, you can call me Sal.
Good luck, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks. Okay, bye.
Anyway, it's time to take a short break so we can refresh my brother's medication.
I don't need no stinking medication! Don't need medication! I keep telling you that!
All right. That's good, Tommy. You don't need it. We'll be right back.
Heading down the highway, Hume, somewhere at the end of June. Taxidermied kangaroos are littered on the shoulders. A possum Jackson Pollock is painted on the tar. Sometimes I think a single sneeze could be the end of us. My hay fever is turning up, just swerved into a passing truck. Big business overtaking. Without indicating, he passes on the right. Been driving through the night to bring us the best price. If you can't see me, I can't see you.
And even though Tibetan monks hope we're gone by their next lives whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
The Indicator from Planet Money is your daily source for economic stories, stories that peel back this onion we know as the U.S. economy.
Today on the show,
desperately seeking construction workers. Forget everything you thought you knew about the unemployment numbers. 10 minutes or less, that is all it takes for us to explain what is going on with all those numbers. Listen and follow The Indicator from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the fine art of killing time at work.
Oh, how now, sweet it is.
In addition to distracting you from your insignificant car problems on the weekend, we also have taken on the awesome responsibility of helping you kill time during the week from the sanctity of your very own cubicle.
Oh, really now? How do we do that?
Should you find yourself with an extra, I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours a day to kill at work this
it
week.
It happens.
Just surf on over to our website, cartalk.com, and there you will find a classic Car Talk puzzler from the Puzzler Archives for your perusal. So
I see, I would have said, and there you will find for your perusal a classic Car Talk puzzle, because that's a misplaced.
Well, especially if you don't know the name,
prepositional
if you don't
phrase.
Know the definition of the word perusal, you might have thought that that puzzle will help your condition. Maybe
oh,
perusal
yeah.
is
it's
a condition.
It's for your perusal.
It's for your perusal.
Oh,
shrink
man.
Perusals without surgery. Anyway, every week this summer, while our puzzler is on vacation, we will post another archival puzzler to soothe your aching perusal. and it'll challenge you during those particularly dull hours at work. Those hours like between 9 and 12 and 1 and 5.
Yeah, that other hour, that's always okay. 12
oh, yeah.
to 1.
No problem. Now, if you'd like to call us, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Doris. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Doris.
Hi.
Have we spoken before?
Never in my lifetime.
Okay.
But it's
Doris.
A genuine pleasure to be talking to you now.
It's a pleasure to talk to you too, Doris.
Well, thank you so much. I have a puzzle for you.
All right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. A couple weeks ago, driving the car, as a red light comes on my dash, check gauges, but to my horror, I look to the left and I see my temperature has gone through the roof up to the top to 220 degrees. So
wow.
I quickly ran the car back to the mechanic, hoping I wouldn't, you know, disintegrate before I reached him. And he couldn't take me at the time. He was busy. He said, come back tomorrow.
Come back tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
That's like going into the emergency room with blood coming out of every vein. And the doctor says, I'm busy now. Come back tomorrow.
Exactly.
Well, you can write him off.
So anyway, I couldn't drive the car for the next few days. So when I got back in the car, to my utter amazement, temperature was normal.
What do you mean when you got back in the car? After seeing the guy?
No,
After
the 2 days.
After a two-day respite, you then drove it and it didn't overheat.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Great.
So, I called him on the telephone and explained what was going on.
Why did you bother? He didn't care about you.
True.
He should have been calling you
he
on the phone.
He should have been calling you. Saying, Doris, did you make it home?
I wanted an answer to what was going on with my car.
This is a Chrysler Corporation car, is it not?
Pontiac Sunbird.
Pontiac Sunbird.
Pontiac Sunbird?
Oh, and I love my car.
All right.
Anyway, I called him, and he gave me this educated guess. Oh, he said, your thermostat got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, quote, are you saying that it unstuck itself?
Uh-huh.
He says, oh, it happens all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's my question to you. Is this a common occurrence?
Happens all the time, Doris.
That's what he said.
We see it every day. There's hardly a day that goes by that we don't see an unstuck thermostat.
Well, the truth is that he was right.
Yeah.
It does happen.
Yeah.
Frequently.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not every minute.
Of all the ways that a thermostat can fail, this is one of the more common ones. It can stick one day and then work perfectly okay the next day. But once it sticks, it's destined to imminent failure.
Oh.
And you should have it replaced.
I just had this thermostat put in a couple months ago. This is a new thermostat.
Well, it's no good anymore.
Well, maybe. What kind of driving were you doing the day that it overheated as opposed to the day that it worked normally? And I suspect you've been driving it ever since?
Yes, ever since, and it's been doing fine. I was just taking a short run. I didn't go on a long trip.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 10 minutes away from home when the red light came on.
And the red light came on.
He could have put a faulty one in, and I would just ask him to replace it and also to check out the whole cooling system and to make sure that your fan works every time. You know, there's an electric fan that is thermostatically controlled. And
right.
if that doesn't come on every single time the engine reaches a certain temperature, then it will, in fact, overheat. So he should check that, too.
So three things. Check the thermostat, the fan, and the cooling system.
Right, just to see if there are any leaks. Now, I mean, the reason I asked the question earlier was to determine if you had, for example, driven it on the highway that day and then come into the city. But you do the same kind of driving all the time.
Neighborhood driving.
So that day that it overheated, you hadn't done anything out of the ordinary.
Exactly. That's true.
Okay. Well, my vote goes with the thermostat.
Yeah, the guy was right.
Yeah.
Take it in, Doris, and have a new thermostat put in.
I would do that.
Oh, okay.
See you later.
Thank you so much for your advice.
You're
Our
very
pleasure.
Welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Brings up an interesting question. Even though he was right, should she ever go back to him again? when he sent her away in her hour of need.
No, she should abandon him. Drop him like
a
hot potato.
I would drop him like a hot potato, because maybe he's competent, but he has no
empathy, compassion, no compassion, no feeling.
No fear. He didn't care.
No boat, come back no boat payment, too.
No, come back tomorrow. By tomorrow, she could have fried the engine. And then where would we all be? If she had said, I drove home like he said, come back tomorrow. I went back the next day. The thing was hot as heck, and my engine fried. Should I sue him? And we would have said, you bet. You call Dewey, Cheatham & Howe.
And one of those sleazeballs will sue him.
We'll represent you.
If you'd like to call us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Tracy from Charleston, South Carolina.
Hi, Tracy.
Tracy, is there an E in that?
Yes, there is.
And is that the difference between the male Tracy and the female Tracy name?
I don't think so. I've seen it spelled both ways with both genders.
Really?
Yeah. Well, this is a follow-up call to a call you had last weekend.
This is a good name if you're a cross-dresser.
Hey, come on now.
Don't leave the guy alone, will you, please?
Well, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean it in a bad way.
Come on, Tracy. Don't listen to him.
Do you guys remember a call last week from a woman that said her mother had offered her and her boyfriend a car if they got married?
Yes, I do.
Oh, do we remember it?
Of course.
You wanted to hear from that boyfriend.
Uh-oh, you are he.
I am he.
No kidding.
You know, as a matter of fact, now I remember that she mentioned your name.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
What was her name? I forgot.
Alisa.
Oh, how could I forget that? That's my mother's name. That led us to the discussion
of
Jimmy.
Right.
Vincent. So, Tracy, this is a very interesting situation you have here.
Yes, it is.
Her mother. Came to you.
Right.
Not to Alisa, as I recall it. And she said, if you guys will get married, I will buy you a car.
Right.
Yes.
Which put me in kind of a dilemma.
Of course.
You ain't kidding.
I mean, you can't be bought for just a car.
Yeah, so, I mean, what was your initial reaction to this? I'm curious. I mean, if my current mother-in-law had come to me with such an offer, I'm not sure what I would have done.
Yeah, Lisa and I have been dating about 3.5 years, and we've been living together, a year and a half.
I remember we discussed that as well.
Okay, so that's what prompted this on Mom's part.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The thing is that I've been thinking about proposing, asking her to marry me.
Yeah.
For a little while, you know, a few months.
Yeah.
And then all this car talk came up, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of turned you cold a little bit, I suspect.
Well, the thing is, I didn't want to propose to her immediately after her mother offered to buy me a car.
Right, it would look.
It would be suspicious.
Yeah.
And so I kept waiting, and...
Yeah, but see, waiting isn't going to help either now. I mean, once she's made the offer, the offer's on the table.
It's a standing
offer. No matter what, your proposal is going to be tainted.
Your proposal is phew.
Yeah.
I mean, how can she believe now? I mean, this could ruin your whole life.
Well, the only way you could make it believable would be to refuse the car.
That's it.
Which would be stupid.
That would be stupid, wouldn't it?
That would be stupid. I mean, if you're going to marry her anyway, why not get a car out of it? On the other hand, will she always suspect you for the rest of your lives?
Right. And someday at Thanksgiving dinner, you'll be berated.
Well, for having to be bought.
Well, Tracy never would have married Lisa unless we didn't get him that car.
That's right.
Yeah, boy, that'll be thrown up at you many times. Yeah.
Well, I think that is too expensive of a gift to give to somebody anyway. I mean, I would feel kind of funny.
Oh, so you're leaning toward turning down the car?
Well, I mean,
what's the car? I mean, do we have any idea what the car is or what the because that might change everything.
No, I don't think they got into that level of negotiation.
No.
Did you?
No,
of course
not. Not at all.
I mean, in fact, I mean, think about it. How is he going to say, well, Mrs. whatever her name is, what kind of a car did you have in mind? I mean, that's going to
really
be the worst possible answer, which means, well, I might consider doing it, but not for any old car.
Well, that's irrelevant now.
Why? You ran away and got married.
You joined the circus. You popped the question.
Well, we went looking for a car, and I fell in love with the lady that was selling us the car.
No, I'm kidding. You're a liar.
We got engaged last weekend.
You did?
You and the car salesman?
No, me and Elisa.
You did?
Yeah.
How sweet.
Yeah, so.
And there's no car involved?
No, of course not.
Of course.
That's a running joke with us, that's all.
If you happen to get a car as a wedding present, of course you won't refuse it, but at this point you didn't accept the bribe, and I think that I'm proud of both of you.
So am I. I'm right. Proud. You're quite a man, Tracy.
Well, and, thank you very much.
And Elisa is quite a woman.
Hey, we'd like you guys to come to the wedding.
We'll be there. When's the happy day?
I think April 5th.
Cool.
Yeah, we're looking forward.
Let us know.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim calling from Pacifica, California.
Hey, Jim.
Yes.
How are you guys doing today?
Not bad.
Well, 2 weeks ago, my fiance's car overheated to the point of warping the head.
Oh, you were driving, huh?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Of course.
So I've endeavored to go ahead and replace the head gasket and have the head shaved down.
So you're doing it yourself?
Yeah, I already did it, actually.
Really?
I already did it. Good.
Yeah, and I'm to the point now where I was meticulous about labeling all of the vacuum lines and everything. Unfortunately, I used pencil and masking tape, which doesn't go too well with...
And it rained, right?
Yeah. Well, worse than that, it has the engine well had, you know, an inch thick of grease and oil.
Yeah.
So anyway, I must have crossed some vacuum lines, and when you turn on the motor now, it seems to breathe on its own and then die. It revs up to about 2 grand and then down to about 100, and then back up to 2 grand and 100, does that about 3 times, and then it stalls.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you must have left a hell of a vacuum hose off.
I'm
going to have to guess that this is a Volkswagen.
No, oh, I'm sorry. Let's back up. It's a 79 Toyota Celica.
79 Celica. Well, you have certainly, I think your diagnosis is correct. You left off, you said you crossed a couple of vacuum lines.
I must have.
Because, I mean, you sure you didn't leave one off?
Because
it would be floating there and you'd see it.
79 Celica. Yeah. Is this like a 22RE engine?
Exactly. No, I'm sorry. It's 20R.
20R.
20R? Just 20R.
20R.
It's carbureted.
Yes.
Classic 20R. Whew. They don't make them like that anymore.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Gee, I mean,
aren't that many things to do wrong there.
No, and in fact, the only vacuum hose that you could leave off that would cause it to do what it does is the PCV hose.
Okay, I'll check that again.
Because, I mean, it could be disconnected, but can you hear a hissing?
Gosh, you know, the motor's so noisy.
All right, here's what you do. Here's how you find it. This is how we always find vacuum leaks. Is your girlfriend still speaking to you?
So far, so
good. Okay.
Okay. If we're not, you have to stop someone on the street to help you do this.
Right. Stop a passerby and have your assistant start the engine.
Yeah.
Right. You're going to be the man out there with under the hood.
With the fire extinguisher.
Right, and the stick.
Oh, you're going to need 3 people. Right. So there's the guy that starts it, the guy with the fire extinguisher, the person with the cell phone to call 911, and you.
All right.
All right. So we have the whole team assembled.
Right. Okay.
What you're going to do is cover up the carburetor. You've got the air cleaner off now.
So yeah.
Your air cleaner's off. You're going to cover the carburetor with your hands. And if you do it just right, you'll actually get the engine to run because what you'll be doing is offsetting the vacuum leak.
See, what's happening is all the engine is getting its air through whatever vacuum hose you've left off. So all this air is getting sucked into the engine, and when you add that to the air that's coming in through the carburetor, the thing won't run.
It's too lean.
But if you cut off the amount coming in through the carburetor with your hands, then it will run on the amount that's coming in through the leak.
Uh-huh.
Got it?
Yeah.
And then the fifth person, I didn't mention you're going to need 5 people. Okay. While you've got the carburetor covered up, that's why we have 6 people that work at the shop.
Yeah, okay.
With the carburetor covered up, You will be able to then hear the vacuum leak.
Okay.
You'll hear the engine sucking the air in through whatever hose, and you're going to say, oh, How could I have been so stupid?
Oh, that's a hose? I thought that was a wire hanging down there, you'll say.
And whatever hose it is going to be big.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be big.
You'll find it. This is a foolproof method.
All right.
But there are a bunch on the bottom left side of the manifold. There are a bunch of hoses that could easily be left off.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to find one of them there, and you're going to hear it going when you've covered up the carburetor.
All right.
If not, call us back.
Okay.
And you're going to be a hero.
I hope so.
When you just put one hose back on, and that engine's going to smooth right out and run at 822 RPMs, just so smooth. Oh!
All right.
And your chest will go out another 7 or 8 inches.
And you'll burst all the buttons on your jumpsuit.
And you'll start going. Great.
Good luck, Jim.
Good luck, James.
Thanks a lot.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Tommy, I guess we better take a break so that our stations can identify themselves.
Yeah, and dig out that 20-minute live version of Free Bird to cover up the rest of the show.
We'll be back in a minute.
I left Boston about an hour ago. I still ain't made it to the Western Pole. And if I ever make it past 128, I'm gonna rock this road. I'm gonna tail some gate and I'll drive. Yeah, baby, I'll drive. Until there ain't no road to rock, baby, I'm a really bad driver.
And even though the NPR mail lady inks up her stamp that says no such morons at this address whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments. Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Ha, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the Puzzler Archives. Now, for those of you who can't wait until the Puzzler returns, first of all, you really ought to get a grip. But after that, you may want to visit cartalk.com because there is a Puzzler waiting there for you.
Right. It's one of our archival Puzzlers, as we call them, which is a nice word for used. But used is good, right?
Oh, used can be very good. Anyway, you got any mail for us?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. This was sent to us by David Leventhal. I don't know where he got it. This is something that was needed, and someone has put it together. The Universal Grade Change Form. I mean, everyone who's ever been in academia knows that at the end of the semester, after you've turned in all the grades, there is this never-ending stream of students coming in trying to get their grade changed. And I can speak from personal experience. The grade change form right now leaves it wide open. This is a do-it-yourself grade change form with multiple choice answers. To Professor Blank from Blank, I think my grade in your course Blank should be changed from a blank to a blank for the following reasons. One, and you just check off whatever applies.
Oh, you don't have to be creative.
You don't have to be. The person who copied my paper got a higher grade than I did. Two, the person whose paper I copied got a higher grade than I did. I'm on a varsity sports team and my tutor couldn't find a copy of your exam. my dog, cat, gerbil, circle one, ate, wet on, threw up on, circle one, my book, notes, paper, circle one for this course. And then there's a place for other. So I think this is useful. This will be very useful because then the professors won't have to think about it. They'll just get it, and they'll...
And if you check the right number of boxes, you...
Sure. I mean, as we know, they all change the grade anyway because they are intimidated by the students and because they know that the students, if they find out their grade's not changed, they will go and rescind the evaluation they did of the professor, and we know that everything is based on that.
Now, we have a friend that used a little more creative approach to grade change, a mutual friend who actually attended MIT with me.
Yes.
During which time, I felt...
maybe entirely responsible for liberating him from the shackles of what do you call that, scholastic, what would be the right
rigor.
Word? Rigor. Rigor. I took a straight-A student, and in one quick semester, managed to get him all Fs. So he gets all Fs that term. They throw him out for a semester. He comes back, gets all A's again.
And then he met you again.
And then we strike up another new friendship, all and he goes back to all Fs. Well, the long and the short of it is, years after he graduated, he decides that he doesn't like the blemish of all these Fs on his grade report, and he goes to the dean's office and explains to them that, obviously, the reason he got all these Fs is that he wasn't attending class, because it's obvious when he did attend class, he got what?
All A's.
All A's. So he must have been absent for those 13 weeks that he received these Fs. So these grades should be expunged from his record.
And not only that, he wanted his tuition back.
That's when they threw him out.
I mean, he managed to convince them. I mean, what a guy.
What a guy.
he actually managed
and
to...
And he will remain nameless, at least for this week anyway.
Convince those dunderheads at MIT to buy this.
Anyway, if you want to call us about your car, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Janet from Colorado Springs.
Hi, Janet.
Janet,
how are you?
What's up?
Okay, well, I've got a white basic Miata with hot pink accents.
White? And wait a minute. White with hot pink? Well, you can't get hot pink. That's not one of the standard...
No, it's only accents, like, you know...
Oh, yeah.
License plate holders, antennas.
Oh, you don't have one of those things with the lights that goes around the license plate holder, do you?
No.
Oh, I'm glad.
No, and my horn does not play La Cucaracha.
Okay.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Let me see if...
My brother's
let
does,
me see. So. I just happen to have here, and I unfortunately... I don't know who sent it to me, but I have here a little article which is reprinted from something that says that the color of your car reveals your personality. So,
uh-oh.
Let me see if... Is this you? White, it says. You are extremely truthful and honest and expect others to be the same. You are self-disciplined and tidy, and you tend to always pay your bills on time.
Oh.
You are graceful under pressure and optimistic about the future. Isn't that sweet? Aren't you nice?
Is that you, Janet?
That's me, but basically it's because I was cheap.
Didn't say anything about cheap here.
Oh, okay.
No, that's okay.
It says you pay your bills on time. Okay, what's the problem with this great little Miata?
Well, about 2 months ago, when I started driving around 35 or above, a flacketing noise was coming from
flackety,
my car.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I took it immediately to my friendly local good person car fixers. And they said it was a strip off the thing under the front of the car.
Yeah.
Lots of bolts in it, and it broke free, and that's what was causing the flacketing. But they used the technical term.
Flacketing, yes.
Yeah, that's my term.
That's because you drove into something with it.
Well, I don't remember doing that, and I'm usually quite awake when I drive, so.
Well, let's see. You are extremely truthful. Yeah, she didn't do it.
I am truthful.
She didn't drive into anything. It says right here.
Okay.
So they cut it free, that little strip. And then I asked them what it was and if it was safe to drive with that hole in the thing at the bottom. And it was dangerous or stupid. And
it's like a little air dam or something.
Pardon?
Under there. It's like a little air dam. It's supposed to deflect.
It's supposed to keep the flow of air laminar so that you get great gas mileage.
Oh. And, well,
and reduce wind.
Shoulders and they didn't know.
And reduces wind noise.
It's not to protect the under...
No, it obviously doesn't protect anything. You snapped it off without even knowing it.
It's plastic, so it really isn't protecting anything. It's just making the air that goes underneath the car, instead of getting all in a turmoil under there and causing stress to you and the car, and therefore poor gas mileage, it makes it flow under there nicely.
Yeah.
It does. I mean...
You know the old days that trains used to have, and of course trains don't have these anymore, to the best of my knowledge, cow catchers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this wouldn't suffice as a cow. This might be a cat catcher.
Yeah,
because they're considering it's...
I mean, overall, I would say it makes a difference of 0.0033% to your gas mileage.
Okay.
So, it in the grand scheme of things, it means diddly.
Well, it must be a particularly vulnerable piece. It must be so close to the ground.
The car is very low anyway, so it doesn't take much. If you drive over a little rock, you're going to wipe this thing out, which is good.
How many square inches was this piece that they removed?
The guy said it was about... 12 inches long. It looked like 9 inches to me, but that's guys, you know?
I was going to say 10 myself, so 9, 12, it's about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's nothing.
unimportant.
It's unimportant, Janet.
Unimportant?
Unimportant.
Oh, I'm really glad.
Yeah,
it's a good thing that you are self-disciplined and tidy. See, she is, because she's worried about this little piece of plastic.
It's the flacketing.
The
flacketing
yeah.
is gone now.
Yeah.
Yes, that is.
That's
okay.
right.
Other than that, are you delighted and thrilled with this car?
Oh, absolutely, except for the chitter-chitter on the right side of the car.
Well, that'll be another call. You'll have to call back.
Oh, you got a chitter-chitter.
That's because you're missing that piece.
Like this? Chitter-chitter?
Yeah, it sounds sort of like that.
I have no idea what it is. Hey, good luck with the Miata, and don't worry about the flackety flack, but don't take any flack from anybody. That's what my brother always says.
Thank you so much.
See you, Janet.
See
you. Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dave from Marlton Lakes, New Jersey. And I'm upset that you just used up your good answer before you got to me.
Oh, yeah, well.
Hey, well, that's the breaks, man.
Where you from again in New Jersey?
Marlton Lakes.
Marlton?
Marlton, like the dirt.
What's dirt?
It's marl dirt. Marl's like a clay.
Marl is clay, yes.
Yeah.
It's a crossword puzzle word. I've never seen the stuff in my life.
New Jersey doesn't have any real dirt.
No. So what's up?
I got a question about the remote keyless entry on my 97 Audi A6 Avant.
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of a general question about all remote keyless entries. My range is really bad on it. I almost have to be right up to the car sometimes for it to open it.
Yeah.
And, you know, my brain-damaged college student son told me to just point it to my chin and it'll work.
Yeah.
And,
oh, man.
I told him he was a mental midget.
But he's right.
And then you found out that it worked.
It worked.
Yeah. Well, so someone told us that if it doesn't work, you stick it in your mouth.
Now, why would that be, though? I can understand, like, on an antenna, if you touch it, you know, your body's kind of an extra antenna.
Well, but
because
the way the thing works is there is an antenna under the dashboard.
Yeah, but you're on the transmitting part.
I know, you're sending the signal, but yeah. If I don't know how the chin works, but the mouth works because you're, like, making a little echo chamber.
Yeah, like the inside of your skull and it comes out of your eyes? What?
No, I think it happens. All right, here's a male answer syndrome answer.
Okay. Now, tell me exactly what your son said. You touch it to your chin?
Like you know, you do that Clinton thing. You know how he used to point at people?
Yeah.
But not point, you know? Well, you know, you just hold it like you're pointing at the car, then just point it directly up to your chin.
So you're pointing the business end of it.
Right, up to your chin.
And how much have you increased the range, would you say?
About double.
Yeah, I mean, when we did the test, and it was at least 50% improvement.
Yeah.
I think it's using you kind of as a disperser.
It doesn't sound healthy.
Well, for example...
Disperse this.
No, I have discovered the same thing with my TV remote. If I lie down on the couch...
What do you mean, if?
All right, when I lie down on the couch, I frequently am too lazy to actually lift the remote control off the coffee table.
Well, you're tired from a hard day's work.
No, this usually happens on weekends. And I found that if I've aimed the thing, what I think is directly at the TV,
yeah,
it doesn't work. But if I bounce it off my forehead...
How, pray tell, did you discover this?
I don't know.
I bounced it off the wall.
But even if I bounce it off the wall behind me,
right,
it seems to work better than if I aim it at the thing. And I think it's because you're making the signal bounce all over the place. And all it takes is one little piece of it to get to the antenna or to the receptor. Or whatever that thing is.
Yeah, but it's a longer distance. It should attenuate or something. It doesn't make sense.
But I think the signal is so strong that if you don't aim it correctly, if you aim it right at it and misaim it, it goes right past it.
Gosh.
But I think if you aim it at another wall, it bounces around so much.
No, that's baloney. That would mean, I mean, look, I bounce it off the wall. It's got a million possible ways
exactly.
that it can go around. And you're saying that little thing has enough energy
yes.
to make 100 turns
yes.
until it ends up zeke
yeah.
right in the middle of the receptor?
Yeah.
It's a geometric anomaly.
Boom.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, if the wall is too far away, I mean, there are limits. And that's why bouncing it off your chin or your oral cavity
is the equivalent of bouncing it off the wall in your basement.
Ah.
And if the wall is too far away, then the signal will be sufficiently attenuated so that
ever,
it can't...
If ever I heard a Bull O'Gust theory, this is it.
All right.
Thank you.
You've thrown down the gauntlet.
Not that I understand how it happens, but I know that ain't how it
happens. Well, that, Dave, that's my explanation, and I'm sticking with it. We're going to start a bulletin board on our website.
Yeah.
It'll be Dave's A6 Avant.
Dave's chin.
Yeah, you'll figure it. And we need people. We need people with authority. We need physicists and
we need someone who makes the things.
More estheticians. College, what do they call those? Beauticians.
Beauticians.
We need anyone that has a shingle to set us on the straight and narrow here.
Yeah.
And we need to find out if, in fact,
it can't be rocket science.
Tommy, you're gonna be embarrassed when you find out that I'm right. Dave, thanks for your call.
Okay, thanks,
guys. Bye. See, if your theory was right, then when you misaimed it at the TV, it would do the same thing. It would miss the TV, it would bounce off, and it would just go all over the room
and
until it got back to the right place.
And
1,000 iterations later.
No, but then it's lost too much energy. It's going to bounce off the wall behind the TV. Now it's going to bounce off the wall behind you and then back to the TV. It doesn't make it. It doesn't make it. But if you could... Well, just like your garage door opener won't work from 2 blocks away. Everything has a range.
Well, that's exactly my point.
Right, but I think if you're within the limits of the range and you bounce it off something like that and you disperse the signal enough... Then you'll get... I don't get no respect. Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk, our esteemed producer.
Disperser.
Is Doug... I may have the nomenclature a little bit.
Your chin is acting as a disperser. Did Enrico Fermi start this way?
He did. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, bongo boy, disperse this, frogman Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our engineer is Tad Massaman Curry. Our senior web blackie is Douglas F. Mayer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fredonia, Fruki Frogert, and Fruit Loop Frolic, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marja Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzov. Our arbitration expert is Viola Fuss. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our interior decorator is Perry Winkle. The director of our Alpine Choir is Ole Olehi. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luca Odovindo. Our Puerto Vallarta transmission specialist is Cinco de Mayo. Our chicken soup provisioner is Kent Hoyt. eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. And our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. And of course, our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey. Known to the severely sunburned chess masters in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey and the dispersers. A lot of dispersers in Harvard Square, too. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive or disperse like my brother.
Don't think like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
It's amazing. The less we know about something...
This is going to be right up there with the cattle trailer lights. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway.
Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though aging hippies remove their vegan, cruelty-free sandals and pound their radios with them whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.